All right, let's turn in our Bibles to John chapter 3. Now, be there if you can. It'll be a real blessing to you in Sunday school, okay? Tonight, I want you to turn and begin reading at verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. He can't go to heaven. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we ask for you to again guide and to bless. And I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would do something that counts for eternity and helps someone here tonight. In Christ's name I pray, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I've never had a baby. Really, I never have. But I have seen three babies born. I was the kind of man that wanted to be in the room when my kids were being born. And the only way that they let me do that is I had to take Lamaze class. So we had all these breathing exercises that we had to practice. We did the all right, everybody do that with me. Ready? Here we go. There, you're ready to have a baby. But we did all those breathing exercises, and I took it pretty seriously because when my children were being born, I didn't want to mess up. And I didn't want to cause problems with the birth process. So I took it pretty seriously. But when I deal with what I'm preaching about tonight, I take it even more seriously. Because if we mess up when it comes to somebody being born physically, it could cost a human life. But if we don't understand, and if we mess up when we're talking about what we're talking about now, being born again spiritually, it will not just cost a physical life, but it could cost your eternal soul. So I take very seriously what I'm addressing tonight. Jesus said three times that the only way that a person will ever get into heaven is he has to or she has to be born again. Now, Charles Spurgeon, a great preacher years ago, said that he felt that 85% of people that go to church probably aren't going to heaven. Now, you're all in church tonight. You may go to church somewhere else as adults. You may go somewhere else as teens. You could even go here. But Spurgeon said he felt that 85% of church-going people are not going to heaven. Now, I really don't think he was referring to a good Bible-preaching church, but there are a lot of churches that don't really preach the gospel. They preach that if you're a good enough person, you'll get to heaven, but you won't. You don't get to heaven by being a good person or getting baptized or getting sprinkled. So that's why I think Spurgeon said 85% of people going to church probably aren't going to heaven. Now, I asked my father-in-law, who's been preaching for like 50 years, how many people that go to our Baptist churches do you think aren't going to heaven? And in his opinion, he felt by looking at the lifestyles and the heartbeat, 30 to 50% that go to our Baptist churches, he doesn't think are going to go to heaven. Now, you can't really put a figure on that, and I'm not saying that that's the case here. But it is true that God's Word tells us to examine ourselves to see whether we're really born again. And here's what's important. Unless you're really born again, you cannot get to heaven. So I'm going to preach to us about what does it mean to be born again. And here's what I want. When I preach on it, I would like you young people to examine to see if you've been born again. Can you get to heaven without being born again? So you've got to make sure you've been born again. Okay? Adults as well, though. Examine yourself to see whether you really have experienced this thing called spiritual birth. Because without it, we cannot get to heaven. And we want everybody in this room to be in heaven when they die. Okay? Now, the first thing we're going to look at is the explanation of new birth. What really is being born again? Right? It says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and then that which is born of the spirit is spirit. And here's what that's saying. There's a physical birth that we all have had. Mine was June 5th, 1965, 48 years ago. But then there's a spiritual birth that we all have to have. And that's when we become genuinely Christians. Genuinely, we have a spiritual life that did not exist. Now, question. Are you really alive physically? Yes. Did you really have a physical birth? A literal one? Yes. Now, when it comes to spiritual birth, it's just as literal. There is a life that comes in you that didn't exist before. Now, have you ever noticed that there are some people that seem to be really spiritual people and other people that seem like are totally dead spiritually? They don't have a heartbeat. Now, why is it that they don't have a heartbeat for spiritual things? It's because they're dead, literally dead spiritually. And a dead man can't do anything. You say to a dead man in a casket, sit up, he can't. You say, look at me, he can't. You say something, and he can't. Why? Because a dead man can't do anything. And until somebody is really born again, they cannot have the heartbeat of a Christian because they're not alive. And they cannot talk like a Christian and really walk like a Christian and live the Christian life. A spiritual birth takes place that's real. And it's just as real as your physical birth. Now, the Bible says it like this. You get a new nature. It says in Ephesians chapter 2, we were by nature children of wrath. But then it says that we get a new nature and become a new man on the inside. We think differently than we did before. We like different things than we did, spiritually, I mean. And we become a different person, a better person, when we are truly born again. You can take a computer and you can take a case off of the computer and put in a new processor and a new hard drive. You know what I'm talking about? And then you put the case back on, and then it looks like the same machine, but it has totally different capabilities. It thinks differently. It processes differently. Am I right? Now, when somebody gets born again, if you're ugly before you get saved, you're ugly after you get saved. But the inside of you will change. You'll process life differently. You'll think like a Christian thinks, and you'll like things that Christians like. And you'll stop liking things that unsaved people don't like. It just naturally happens. You become a new person. Let's look at this. Turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2. And Ephesians chapter 2, it explains that if you get born again, it is as real as when you are physically born. There is a spiritual desire, a spiritual man that comes to life inside of you that was not there before. A spiritual life. All right, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. For we are his workmanship, once we're born again, created in Christ Jesus unto what? Good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Now, notice the word created. Now, in Genesis 1:1, it says, in the beginning, God what? Created. And that is the word ex nihilo, which means out of nothing. Nothing existed, and then God made it come into existence. Now, before we're saved, nothing spiritual really exists in us. But when we get saved, God makes this spiritual man come alive and come to birth inside of you. I want you to notice what he says about this new man being dead and then you becoming alive. Ephesians 2 and verse 1. And you have to be quickened, that means made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins. But you're made alive spiritually. All right, please look at Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 15. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity and the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. Ephesians 4 and verse 24. Look at that. And that he put on the what? New man. Let's all say that. The new man. And notice the word created is there again. I'm not trying to bore you. I'm trying to inform you. That you put on a new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So God creates in you a new man. When you get born again, you become a new person on the inside. In fact, 2 Corinthians 5, 17, listen carefully. It says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And a faith that does not change your life doesn't save your soul. Because if you are saved, you become a new person and you're changed on the inside. Now, how many of you know what a pig is? All right. Now, you take a pig out of the mud and you wash that pig and you get all that mud off of it. Then you put a bow around its neck, a pretty pink bow. Then you spray that pig with perfume. Are you following me? Now, then you look at that pig, eyeball to eyeball, and you say, now, pig, you're clean. Pig, you're pretty. Pig, you smell nice. Now, pig, you don't like mud anymore. You're a new pig. And then you let that pig go. What's it going to do? It's going to go right back to the what? Now, you say, you stupid pig, I told you you don't like mud anymore. You're rebellious. Now, if the pig could talk, what would he say? He would say, I know you tell me that I don't like mud. I know you tell me that I'm just being rebellious. But I'm not trying to be rebellious. I'm sorry. I just like the mud. Now, why is it that the pig likes the mud? It's not his fault. Get it? It's his nature. Now, follow me. It's the nature of a pig to naturally like to go to the what? It's the nature of a dog to naturally like to sit in the sun and just soak in the rays. It's the nature of a bird to like to what? And it's the nature of a sinner, listen, to like sin. It's the nature of a Christian to like spiritual things. It's the nature of a sinner to hate spiritual things. And it's the nature of a Christian to not be comfortable in sin. Now, if a person is a Christian, is he going to sin? Of course he is going to sin. But here's the way it works. As a Christian, listen to me, I'm trying to help you to see whether you're really born again or not and what it means. If you are a Christian, here's what will happen, ladies. You may sin, but you're not going to be comfortable in it. Now, I sometimes like to play in the mud. I play tug of war with teenagers pretty regularly, and we usually try to get a little incentive. We'll do it over a 6 foot long, 3 foot deep, 3 foot wide mud pit. Now, where I may enjoy rolling in the mud once in a while, throwing somebody in the mud, wrestling with one of the guys in the mud, I might enjoy getting in the mud once in a while, but I'm not comfortable living in the mud like a pig 24 hours a day. Do you see the difference? Why? Because my nature is different than a pig. Now, if you're a Christian, young people and adults alike, you are going to sin. But here's what you'll find. If you are a new creature, when you fall into sin, you're not going to be comfortable there anymore. Now, how many of you have ever noticed that you do still sin, but when you sin, you just feel horrible? Oh, that's a good indication that you've got the new nature. But have you ever noticed there are certain people that they regularly sin, and they don't feel bad about it at all? All right, that's an indication that they do not have this new nature in them. Now, in the Word of God, it says, examine yourself to see whether you be of the faith. And when you look at this, being born again, here's what I want you to do. Not get bored, but I want you to think. I want to go to heaven when I die. Now, if you agree with me on that, would you slip up your hand, adults and young people alike? Now, if you're going to get to heaven, here's the only way you're going to get there, or I'm going to get there. We've got to genuinely be born again. Is it possible to be in a church, call yourself a Christian, look like one, talk like one, but not really be one? Yes, because it's not the external that changes. The computer case is going to look the same whether you change the inside or not. But what will really change is what's inside of your heart. So you've got to examine yourselves. All of us need to see what's in our hearts. Which leads me to the second point, the evidences of being born again. Now, you've got to be born again. I've got to be born again. We'll never get to heaven unless we're all born again. And there are probably some here tonight that are not genuinely born again. And I'm trying to help you with this. Now, when my three babies were born, now they're big, they were little, the first thing that went through my mind when each one was being born was, I hope they're not ugly. That's terrible, isn't it? And then the next thing that went through my mind was, do they have six fingers on each hand or five like they're supposed to? And then another thing that went through my mind was, finally, are they alive? Now, when I was looking at this idea of are they alive, several things went through my mind. I'm looking for any evidence that they're alive. I'm looking, are they breathing? I'm looking, is the nurse going, and all of that's going through my mind. I'm looking for, is there any crying going on? Is there any movement going on? And I'm looking for vital signs. Now, a lot of times I will look at young people and adults alike, and I'll say, I'm concerned because if I see that there is a baby that's not moving, it's not breathing, there's no brain movement, there's no heartbeat, I'm concerned that that baby's not alive, right? Now, when I look at people spiritually, I'm looking for vital signs, and I'm thinking, is there any heartbeat in that young person? Is there any spiritual thinking in that young person? And if there's no spiritual brain waves and there's no heartbeat, you know what my concern is? There's no life. Now, there are three things that you can look at to see if you genuinely are born again. When you get born again, you get a new nature, and that primarily will affect three things: your mind, your emotions, and your will, the choices you make. All right, now don't get bored. Think with me. Number one, do you have spiritual brain waves? Do you think like a Christian? All right, turn in your Bibles over to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18. In 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 18, it tells you the mind of a Christian. Someone who is really born again. And you know what? You can actually pray a prayer, dear Jesus, come in my heart and make you my Lord, and still split hell wide open. Why? Because you don't get to heaven because you pray a prayer. Now, a lot of times we'll ask people at an invitation, I'm for you, I'm helping, I'm trying to help you to think. At an invitation we'll say, how many of you know that you're going to heaven? How many of you have ever heard that question before? And I'll say, if you know for sure you're going to heaven, would you slip up your hand? And here's what goes through the brains. Most people think, I prayed a prayer when I was 4, 5, 15, 21. I did that. I prayed that prayer. And then the hand goes up. I did that. You did what? I prayed a prayer. Now listen, put on your safety belts. Matthew 7:21 says, not everyone who saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. You know what that warns? You can pray, Lord, Lord, I make you my Lord, and still go to hell. Now, who will get into the kingdom of heaven? It says, he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean you get to heaven by doing God's will? No. The Bible already said, it's not by works which we have done, but it's by faith. So what is it referring to? How many of you can tell that there are certain times somebody will say something, but you know that they really don't mean it? Now, not everyone who saith unto me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but who will get into heaven, the one that does the will of the Father. Now, when people say, I make you my Lord, but They never do what God wants. They always do what they want. They just said they made him the Lord, but they really didn't make him the master. Now, you do not get saved by doing good deeds, but you can tell who's really made Jesus their Lord by if they obey what the master says. Now, here are some things that you would see. Number one, you will change the way you think. You won't change it. God will change you because he puts this new life in you. And how will it affect your thinking? 1 Corinthians 1:18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God to salvation. How does an unsaved person think? Preaching, church, it's foolishness. Now, there are a lot of people that will say, I'm saved, but I just don't like to hear preaching. It's boring. Or they'll say, I'm saved, I pray that prayer, but I just don't want to go to church. Mark it down. That's the statement of an unsaved person. Why? Because the Bible says the preaching of the cross is to them that, what? Perish, foolishness, or a waste of time. Now, if you say, I've got more important things to do with my life than just waste my time going to church, that's a waste of time. That's the thinking of an unsaved person. Now, examine yourself to see whether you're born again. Now, ladies, girls, do you like church? I'm not saying you like every preacher. You might say Pelletier is the most boring guy I've ever met. But do you generally have a heart for the Word of God? If not, unsaved people just don't have a heart for that. You may have prayed a prayer, but you never got really born again. Young people, is there a heartbeat? Is there a heartbeat? Is there a heartbeat for the things of God? Now, when somebody has to be hog-tied, drugged to church, bribed to church, you got to wonder, is there any real spiritual life going on? Now, I was in Florida, and there were four teenagers in a Christian school in a large church, and they were up in the balcony while I was preaching. The whole time of the song service, they were making fun of it all. We sang out of the hymn book, and it's not rock music, but it's still songs about Jesus, and I think there should be a little respect. And while we were singing, it was Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. And you know that song. But the whole time they were going, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. Like, isn't this the dumbest song? Why do we have to sing this stupid old junk? Let me tell you something. If a person is a teenager who is genuinely saved, he may not think hymns are the favorite music in his life, but he will never have an attitude about singing about the Lord Jesus Christ. And if anybody thinks that's a bunch of foolishness, it is because it's not their fault. That's the way unsaved people think. Now, what is your thinking? All I can do is come to you like a doctor and say, I want to see you in heaven. And all I can do is ask you, will you examine yourself to see what your attitude is about going to church, what your attitude is about preaching? And you can get a pretty good idea if you're real or if you're not really born again. All right, now, one thing that will change will be the way that you think. Do you think like a Christian? If you don't think like a pig, you're not a pig. If you don't think like a dog, you're not a dog. If you don't think like a kitty cat, you're not a kitty cat. And if you don't think like a Christian, it's because you're just not one. Now, the second thing that'll change, if you are really a Christian, not scolding you, helping you to examine yourself, you will find that there will be a change in your heart or the things that you like. All right, 1 John 2, let's turn there, please. 1 John 2. Now, what is a pig typically like? What's he enjoy? The what? The mud. Now, what's a cat typically enjoy? The mud or being clean? And why do they have different things that they like? Because they're different beasts. They're different animals. They have different natures. And a Christian is not going to be comfortable in sin, in the world, and in the evil of the world. in the garbage and the darkness. But a Christian is going to want to be clean and be Christ-like, just naturally, without even trying or being told. The pig likes the mud without being told. The Christian likes to be spiritual without even being told. All right, 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. I personally believe that all of 1 John will go back and forth between fellowship and between examples and evidences of salvation. And I believe that this is applicable as an evidence of salvation. If somebody is truly born again, they're going to love the things of God. If they're not, they're going to love the things of the world naturally, more naturally. Now, Billy Sunday had a man come up to him after he preached one time, and he said, every time you preach, it's like you rub the fur backwards on the cat. Now, how many of you have ever rubbed the fur backwards on a cat before just for fun? Be honest. Raise your hand. Come on, confess. Hold up real high. If you did it, own up. You're sick people. You are sick people. Now, when you rub the fur backwards on a cat, what does it do? It goes like this. It goes. And it doesn't like it. And you know what Billy Sunday said? If every time I preach, I rub the fur backwards on the cat, then tell the cat to turn around. Now think, some of you, listen, every time you go to church, it rubs you the wrong way. Every time somebody talks to you from the Bible, it rubs you the wrong way. Every time somebody brings up Jesus, you go, pfft, and it rubs you the wrong way. But you go, I'm saved. I'm saying, don't judge me, but everything about this thing rubs you the wrong way. But then you go into the world, and you've got rock and roll, the kind of music that's out there that really is even not rock, but there's hip-hop, and there's all this stuff that I don't even know all the names, but I'm saying this. Listen, if they're dressed in sensual ways, they are dancing in sensual ways, they're singing about sex, and all of this wickedness that God condemns outside the boundaries of marriage. And there's so much anger and so much hate and the rap stuff. And listen, some Christians, quote unquote, the hymns rub them the wrong way. The hip-hop rubs them the right way. Church rubs them the wrong way. The sensuality in the rock culture rubs them the right way. Somebody brings a Bible, it rubs them the wrong way. Somebody's drinking a beer, rubs them the right way. Now hear me. If everything about God rubs you the wrong way and everything about sin rubs you the right way, what's that mean? You never turned around. And your life has not been changed. Your heart has not been changed. Now listen to me. Some of you are going to come in and you're going to say, well, that's the way I think about preaching. It just seems to be a waste of time. Some of you are going to come in and you're going to leave and you say, well, that's the way that I feel towards spiritual things. I'm just not interested. I am interested in sinful things. I wish I could do them more. But you'll leave and you'll say, I'm sure I'm fine. If you're not careful, you're going to talk yourself right into being fine, but wake up in hell. If you do not have a heartbeat, you do not have salvation. Now, the third thing that's going to change if a person is really born again will be his will or the choices that he makes, okay? Now, how many of you have ever prayed a prayer to receive the Lord Jesus Christ and you did at least pray that prayer? If you did, then I'm asking you a question. Has the direction of your life changed at all? If it's changed, that's a good indication you're saved. If it's not changed in any way, that's a good indication you're not really been born again. Okay, now, teens, I don't know you that well. Are you changed? Now, here's what the Bible teaches. If any man be in Christ, he's a new what? Old things are passed away, all things have become new. And that is the decisions that we're going to make are going to change. We're just naturally going to make a different decision. Now, when a pig has a choice to make, run to the mud, run to the barn, the straw. Where's the pig going to go?
the mud.
When a bird has a choice to make, go inside the cage or fly free through the air, when it has a choice to make it, what's he going to do? That's his nature. When a person has a choice between living a godly life where he's clean and living a filthy life into sin, if he's a genuine Christian, what's he going to end up finally choosing? Choosing a life where he's clean. Because the Bible teaches that if we are somebody who chooses a life of sin, it's an evidence that we have not really chosen the Lord Jesus. And here are some of these verses. Please look in your Bibles at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Now, this names some specific sins, and it warns that people that are involved in these things, they just aren't the real thing. They just aren't really saved. And I'm letting the Bible speak for itself, and I want you to examine yourself. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9. Now, do I want you in heaven, yes or no? Yes. Am I saying that you're not going to heaven? No. But I'm saying examine yourself, because there are a lot of people that have been fooled by the devil that they prayed some prayer and they're going to heaven when they never really did what was necessary for salvation. Which, by the way, is going to be my last point on how you can truly be born again, okay? If you're not. But let's look at this evidence of salvation. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9. Know ye not the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. They're not going to get to heaven. Be not what? Can a person be deceived? Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. All right, a number of sins specifically mentioned. Be not deceived. Fornicators are not going to get to heaven. All right, look up this way. I'm not accusing you. I'm just telling society. 70% of teens before they get out of high school have immorality today. Now, if you in junior high or high school or college are regularly engaging in immorality, that means you're engaging in a sensual relationship with someone you're not married to. You know what that is? First, God said, thou shalt not commit adultery. That's breaking one of God's Ten Commandments. But also, it is an evidence that you are not truly saved. Now, it says a person will not be a fornicator if they are truly born again. And there are so many people that will say, I'm saved, and then they'll live with somebody they're not married to for years and not be convicted. They'll be involved in a physical relationship with someone they're not married to for years and not be convicted. Listen, if you're convicted and you've turned from it, that's an evidence that you were born again, because your nature wasn't comfortable doing that. But if you're not convicted and you say, it's my body, I'll do this if I want to, get off my back, it's an evidence that you aren't a Christian. Because you could not be comfortable in that if you were a Christian. Now, fornication, adultery, that would be adults being involved in that. And it goes on and it says effeminate. There are people that are calling themselves Christians, but they're homosexuals and lesbians. God says they can be saved, but they're in sin. And if they're a homosexual or lesbian, they're not saved. That's what our Bible says. We got preachers that will get up behind a pulpit and they'll say, oh, God lets you be a homosexual and a Christian. They didn't get that out of the Bible. And nobody is ever going to heaven who is habitually in these sins that God says you should not be in. It goes on and it says liars. It goes on and it says covetous, people that just live for money instead of God. Some of you, the only thing you care about is PlayStation 3. You could care less about picking up a Bible. And these things are concerns. Now, it goes on and it says drunkards. And if a person is in habitual sin, you need to examine yourself to see if you really got the real thing. And that's what I want to close with by looking at experiencing new birth. Now, first, Spurgeon says, though he's not God, 85% of people going to church probably aren't going to heaven. I think that's worth listening because he knows his Bible and he knows his God. Then my father-in-law says he thinks that 30 to 50% of Baptists aren't going to heaven. I'm just saying it's possible there could be one here tonight that's not going to heaven at least. And if there's one not going to heaven, that's one too many. Don't you agree? Now, number one, the explanation of new birth. You get a new what? Heart or new nature. And what is it that's going to be affected the way you think? You'll think like a Christian. The things you like. And then the choices that you make. And I want you to be concerned because I'm trying to do the best I can to help you. Now, some of you might be saying, man, when is it going to get done, man? You know what? It might be, if you're that kind, when is it going to get done? Oh, man, oh, man. It might be that that's your nature is the nature of an unsaved person. And I'm trying to help you to examine yourself. Now, experiencing new birth, how do we do it? Now, let's say that the baby is inside the mom's tummy and the baby says, man, it's dark in here. I'm going to get myself born. And the baby says, I'm going to get myself born. So it starts pushing against mom's hips. And the body doesn't think it's quite ready to get born. Is the baby going to get born? No. Let's say the baby is in the birth process and it's coming out and it goes, I ain't going out there, and it props its hips up against, its feet up against mom's hips. Now, if the baby is in the birth process and it says, I ain't going out there, if the body says it's going, it's going. There it goes. Now, somebody says, well, I don't want to go to hell. Okay, good. I'm going to get myself born again. Okay, great. How are you going to get born again? And here's what you say. You say, well, I'm going to pray this prayer and I'm going to get myself born. Listen, you can pray a million prayers and you won't get yourself born. You do not get born by praying a prayer. Listen, you don't get born again by just praying a prayer. Here's what the Bible says. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made to salvation. Here's what God's looking for. Just like when the body senses that you are a baby that's ready to be born, it'll kick in the birth process when you meet the conditions. God says that His Holy Spirit will save anybody when they meet the conditions. He'll kick in the birth process and anybody can be saved. But you've got to meet these conditions. And I want you to ask yourself if you meet them, okay? Now, examine yourself to see whether you be of the faith. You know who needs to examine themselves? From Pastor McGuffey to Evangelist Mike Pelletier, all the way over to our brother, to our sister, to our brethren, to our brother over here to the very front. We all need to examine ourselves to see if we've met these two conditions, okay? Here's what they are. Number one, faith. Number two, repentance. Now, what is faith? The Bible says it's when we put our trust in what Jesus said, what He did 2,000 years ago. Now, what did Jesus do 2,000 years ago? Died, was buried, and He rose again. And what did He do that for? Our sins. Now, thou shalt call His name Jesus, He shall save His people from their sins. Now, here's what faith is. It's probably better illustrated as trust. Here's an illustration. People are trying to work their way to heaven. And if they're trying to work their way to heaven and they're saying, I'm a pretty good person, I'm a Catholic, I'm a Methodist, I'm a Lutheran, I'm a Baptist, I got dunked in a baptistry when I was a kid, I'm good. That's all works. And what they're trusting, if they say, are you going to heaven? They say, yeah, I got baptized. What are they trusting? Got baptized. Are you going to heaven? Yeah, I've never done anything that bad. What are they trusting? Works. I've never done anything that bad. If you are trusting anything but faith in what Jesus did, you aren't going to heaven yet. Now, let me explain, okay? Hope this helps. Imagine there's a cavern. That means a big, like a Grand Canyon type thing. And it's 20 feet across and 200 feet down, and we're going to jump it. Are you ready? Okay. You put on your tennis shoes, and the first person jumps, and he goes out 7 feet, 4 inches, and we go, good job! Spot on the bottom of the cavern. The next guy jumps, and as he goes out 9 foot, 2 inches. We go, good job! Spot on the bottom of the cavern. Next person jumps out. He goes out 3 feet. Should have been on a diet. Now the last guy jumps, and he goes 19 feet, 11 and a half inches. He's just a half inch short. What happens to him if he's a half inch short? He goes down, and he's just as dead as the person who jumped 3 feet. Now, some people live better lives than others. Don't miss the illustration point, young people. Some people live better lives than others. Some go further in righteousness than others. Are you living a better life than a drunk on the street? I hope so. Are you living a better life than somebody who's selling meth? I hope so. But all of us have sinned and come short. Now, the only way that we're going to get from this side to heaven, are you ready? We got to take a bridge. Now, from this side to the other cavern, we got to take a bridge. And the only way to get to heaven, young people, stay with me. You've got to take the bridge. And the bridge that'll take you from earth to heaven, young ladies and young men and adults, you've got to put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Not Mary, not good works, only Jesus. Now, when you step out on that bridge, let's say you're 200 feet up in the air and you step out on the bridge. If the bridge goes, you go. You go down 200 feet to your death. And when you're standing on that bridge, you know what you're doing? You're trusting your life to the bridge. Does that make sense? You know the only way I'm getting to heaven, young people? I am trusting my eternal soul to Jesus Christ. Now, number one, you've got to have faith. Now, if you remember, there's a second word that's very important, and young people and adults alike, I hope that you're getting this. I hope that you don't sit there and go, man, when is he going to get done? I hope that you think. You've got to repent. Now, what does repentance mean? It means change your mind. And what do you need to repent about? You need to repent about sin. I don't want a life of sin, but more importantly, you need to repent about Jesus. Now, this is a big one. Let's take our Bibles and look at Acts 20, 21. I'm going to show this to you, illustrate it, and we'll be done. Acts 20 and verse 21. Now, do you know if you like certain things? How many of you think you like pizza? Would you raise your hand? Okay. Now, what if I say, well, you don't like pizza? Do you know if you like pizza? What if I say, well, you don't want Jesus in charge of your life? Do you know if you want Jesus in charge of your life? Yeah. Now, if I tell you, you don't want Jesus, you know if you want him. Or if I say, you want Jesus, you really know if your attitude is, I could care less about this Jesus thing. And there are a lot of people that think they're going to heaven because they don't want to go to hell. They'll pray a prayer, dear Jesus, save me. And then they'll say, I did that. I prayed that prayer. But I don't want Jesus or any Christianity or any Bible cramping my style. Now listen, if you don't want Jesus, you don't have him. And this verse teaches that you've got to repent toward Jesus. And I'll explain what that is. All right, Acts 20, 21. Testifying both the Jews and also the Greeks. Repentance toward who? And faith toward our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, here's an illustration of repentance. I'm driving down the road and I'm going to Burger King. Then I have a Mac attack. I change my mind and I decide, I think I want to go to McDonald's instead. Now, how can you tell if I changed my mind? I take the steering wheel and I turn from Burger King and I drive to McDonald's. Now, what if somebody says, well, I'm driving to Burger King and I changed my mind. I'm going to go to McDonald's, but they keep driving toward Burger King. And they say, no, I've changed my mind. I'm going to McDonald's. And they drive into Burger King. They say, give me a Whopper with cheese. And they sit down and they eat it. And you say, I thought you changed your mind. I did. And they keep eating at Burger King. Question, did they really change their mind? Now somebody says, well, I changed my mind. I don't want sin, but I do want Christ. And they keep going to the dances and the proms. And they keep dressing immorally and in modesty. And they keep on cussing. They keep on with a rock culture. And they never get into church. Question. If they say that they turned from sin to Jesus, but their life direction never changes, did they really change their mind about sin and Jesus? Now, you have to examine yourself, and I am warning you. I am challenging you. If you are saying you're born again, but you know that you're living in sin, you better ask yourself, did I really change my mind about this sin and about the Lord Jesus? Now, you've got to have faith and you've got to have repentance, and Jesus wants you in heaven. Now, with closing, let's turn back to John chapter 3 where we started. John chapter 3 where we started. Verse 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he what? Cannot see the kingdom of God. What's it say in verse 5? Truly, truly, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water, that's your physical birth, and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. And verse 7, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. And I want you to ask yourself, do you know for sure that you've been born again? Because if you haven't, you need to be. You need to be. Now, if you look up here, I will close with this little statement. Do you know how you can tell if somebody's really born again? All you have to do is ask those who are closest to that person. And that person will be able to tell if that person's life and heart is the heart and the life of someone who's truly born again. And we want to help you and examine your life. If you're not sure you're born again, you need to be. Hope this helps. Let's bow our heads and we'll have a word of prayer.